This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Spring has sprung, at least it will, at 10:06 tonight. So, you know, if you want to go outside and see if the earth is teetering at all, you can do that tonight at 10:06. Teetering.
If it is, please let us know on the Yates Flooring Center chat line.
We'll
want to get out while we can.
we'll have Red Raider baseball for you at 6, first pitch 12 hours from now at 6:30. Red Raider basketball on Thursday, they'll take on North Carolina State. The Wolfpack and the Red Raiders, our coverage will begin at 7:30 from Pittsburgh. Scheduled tip time 8:40 as the Red Raiders will be playing one of the last games of the day, at least in Pittsburgh. It'll be the final game of the evening.
Which seems really late.
It does. It does.
Like, I would expect, you know, that time for us to have 8:40 Central. Mm-hmm. Tip off if they were playing it, you know, on the opposite coast, you know, rather than that late, a 9:40 tip time. I mean, like in on the East Coast, that just seems like they definitely are. It's about getting as many games in and
sure,
you know, all that kind of stuff. So
well, you got to get, you know, you got by that point in time, you know, when you start Thursday, you'll have 64 teams left. So, and you'll get to 16 by Sunday. So you have to play 16 on Thursday and 16 on Friday, and then 8 on Saturday and 8 on Sunday. That's a lot of hoops to get in. Mm-hmm. Just a little conversation starter when you're at the baseball game today. Maybe when you're around the coffee pot today. Here's a little did you know? Okay, did you know? There's two teams named Wolfpack in this NCAA basketball tournament. You've got North Carolina State, Wolfpack, and you've got the Nevada Wolfpack organization, okay? NC State's Wolfpack is one word. Nevada's is two. Wolfpack. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I mean, don't you find that somewhat fascinating, maybe? A little bit? Interesting? A little tidbit for you?
I mean, yes, you know, very I mean, much so, Chuck.
I mean, today, you know, when you have a little pause, you know, in your baseball broadcast, here's the 3-2 pitch. Red Raiders take on North Carolina State on Thursday. We'll have it for you on the Texas Tech Sports Network. Did you know Wolfpack for North Carolina State is one word? The Nevada Wolfpack is two words.
I don't think you. I don't think you've gauged my efforts ever in starting conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess like if you were the dude back in the day that was, you know, at the club and you're like, I want to talk to that girl. I need something to get me in to start a conversation.
Certainly wasn't my good looks. So I'll just tell you that.
To me, that's, you know, the perfect mm-hmm. time when you needed like to be able to have a conversation.
Tell her,
started.
Hey, did you know?
Yeah.
Did you know?
I mean, otherwise, I mean, I guess if I'm, you know, I don't know, sitting on a plane next to Derek Jeter or something, mm-hmm. I wanted, like, well, what do I say to Derek Jeter? Then in my mind, I'd be like, how do I start a conversation with Derek Jeter? Okay. All right. Otherwise, if I don't have something to say to somebody, I'm not looking for something to say to them.
See, that's
I mean, I'm not trying to start.
That's the start of where we're different.
If I see somebody that I know or mm-hmm. like, or mm-hmm. some random person that right. I like his shoes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not searching for what to say. I just know I see him or whatever, and I'm.
Yeah, I like your shoes.
Yeah. Hey, sweet shoes.
Sweet shoes.
Yeah. Nice okay. kicks.
Nice,
whatever.
Nice kicks.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not necessarily looking for that.
Hey, good to see you, Tom. You know, I haven't seen you since the last time when, you know, you beat me in tennis. Whatever, uh-huh, okay? Uh-huh. Tom,
did you know there's two wolf packs in this tournament? One spells it out, and one has a space in between. No.
Yeah. So the whole concept of searching for conversation starters is just not.
I'm going to give up on this. I say that, but I won't. I'm going to keep trying.
That doesn't mean that you can't use them.
I know, but maybe somebody else might use them
out there.
And I find listening audience.
That's true, but just after you say it, don't look at me and say, aren't you fascinated? Because you know there's not a whole lot that fascinates me.
I know. I feel like someday there's going to be a aha, you know, kind of moment. That's what
I mean, you bring up plenty of things that are interesting, but fascination, that's just not my personality.
So anyway, we got that going on. The Texas Tech Red Raiders in the latest Associated Press poll are ranked 22nd. I think this is the last one before the last one. I think the next one that comes out will be right after the national championship game, and obviously the team that wins that will be number one. Red Raiders ranked 22nd. I was surprised that they went up three slots. I mean, I know that there was a lot of movement and a lot of games, and really at this point in time, it doesn't really matter the rankings, because what matters to you is trying to stay alive in this basketball tournament and trying to figure out how you're going to do that. But you know, you beat BYU, which was ahead of you, and now is one ahead of you. They're ranked 21st in the latest poll. But you got, you know, soundly beat by Houston, and Houston goes from number one to number two. They've already won 30 games. UConn, the number one team, and the number one team in this tournament has won 31, and then Purdue, and then the Associated Press voters have Iowa State 4 and North Carolina 5, and then Tennessee 6. So that's a little interesting. Illinois is up to number 10 as they climbed three spots. Kentucky, potential next opponent for the Red Raiders if Kentucky gets by Oakland, which you would assume that they would. And Texas Tech gets beats North Carolina State, then those two teams would meet for the right to go to the Sweet 16. I don't know why, but I'm nervous about that game. And you probably should be nervous about the game that you have on Thursday first, because you're playing a team that is white hot. But I think everybody has the same question, and maybe they do in North Carolina State land as well, where, okay, you played five games in 5 days. What's the effect on your team? Your team kind of rose to this historic high for them that, you know, maybe you'd have to go back to even 1983 when they won the whole doggone thing. And that was a team that really wasn't expected to win and figured out a way to get into the tournament. And that was before the field of 64. So it was a smaller field. It's a field of, I believe, 48 that they got into. So it was less at large bids that they were fighting for. But it does make you wonder, okay, are they still on their high? Are they still riding the wave, or are they crashing? Are they crashing down?
I feel like it's the perfect time to play this.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
This NC State team, because of not only that, just riding this high and kind of, I don't want to say fat and happy, but you feel. You know, unbeatable, and everybody's telling you how great you are, and maybe there's a little bit less focus, or maybe there's a sense of no matter what happens in the tournament, we still did a great thing here winning the conference tournament, and so that's really cool, and there's a little bit of a let up or whatever. I don't know. I think it's a great time to be playing them. The thing that you said there that surprised me the most was you said, I don't know why I'm nervous about that second round game against Kentucky. You know they're seated higher than you.
Yes, 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 yes.
They're ranked higher than you.
Yeah, no, I know.
I think that's the reason.
Yeah, I'm just nervous about that game. I wish that game was a little bit easier.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Today is March the 19th, 2024. With this day in sports history, here is Jeff McGuire.
You know, starting 1955 with the 17th NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, San Francisco beats LaSalle 77-63. Don's future Hall of Fame center, Bill Russell, is named the tournament most outstanding player.
think they'd win back-to-back years.
San Francisco?
Yeah. 55-56.
1960.
Bill Cartwright went there too, right? I think he did.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to take your word for it.
Can't you remember Ray Clay saying his name?
Yeah.
And the man in the middle from San Francisco, Bill Cartwright. You don't remember that?
Yeah, I do. I love that guy. I thought he was awesome. And you're right.
I loved his free throw form.
You're right. He played college basketball at the University of San Francisco, 75-79.
It was the worst.
If Chuck
form
hadn't
ever.
Been reading his phone, he would have seen the greatest free throw impersonation of all time.
I saw it. I looked over and saw him doing that.
You saw the release. Yeah. There was the whole wind up and okay. The set, like the whole thing.
Bill Cartwright is known for two things: that form. And crying when Scottie Pippen wouldn't go into the game. And what happened in that game that he wouldn't go into the game, Chuck?
Your guy from Croatia hit the winning shot.
Tony Kukoc hit
Tony
three
Kukoc,
to win it.
Yeah. Tony Kukoc said, put me in, I'll hit three. Just like that. Just like that.
See, that's a conversation starter right there.
1966, The 28th NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, Texas Western beats Kentucky 72-65. Miners' first title in their first title game. 1972, LA Lakers beat the Golden State Warriors 162-99 by a then record 63 points.
It's pretty much a beatdown.
Yeah. 1991, Kansas City Royals announced they're putting Bo Jackson on waivers.
Oh, man.
They just put him into their Hall of Fame the other day.
1995, Michael Jordan rejoins the Chicago Bulls after 17 months, and they beat the Pacers.
I'm back.
2005, Ronald Ross sank the go-ahead three-pointer with 1:06 to play, then added two clinching free throws with 7.5 seconds left to lead the Texas Tech Red Raiders to a 71-69 second-round victory over Gonzaga. 2019, Houston Rockets guard James Harden becomes the first player in NBA history to score at least 30 points against all 29 opponents in a single season, with a 31-point affair in a 121-105 win over the Atlanta Hawks. Mm. And in 2021, Texas Tech is moving on to the second round of the NCAA tournament after a 65-53 win over Utah State. Mac McClung led the Red Raiders with 16 points by hitting 3 three-pointers, while Kyler Edwards hit 2 from beyond the arc, finishing with 12 points. It's National Oatmeal Cookie Day. Not oatmeal raisin, just oatmeal cookie.
No, it's, you can't have oatmeal raisin without oatmeal, though. So, you know, what percentage of...
Well, it's just oatmeal cookie.
I know, but what percentage of oatmeal cookies are oatmeal raisin cookies? I mean, when was the last time you just had an oatmeal cookie?
When I ran out of raisins, but I had everything else going.
I'm going to go like 98%.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. The oatmeal raisin just makes it that much
better.
Well,
no, that's probably not fair. I mean, there's probably some people like oatmeal chocolate chip.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to go like 80% are oatmeal raisin. Most people that like chocolate chips say give it to me in a real cookie, not an oatmeal one.
Yeah, right. I'd rather just have a chocolate chip cookie, to be quite honest with you.
But I do know people that eat those, so.
Happy birthday to Bruce Willis, who is 69. Andy Reid, former Eagles coach, 66. Glenn Close, 77. Clayton Kershaw, 36. And David Ross is 47. And on this day, in 1916, eight Cutlass Jenny planes from the 1st Aero Squadron take off from Columbus, New Mexico. It is the first combat air mission in U.S. history. The 1st Aero Squadron, organized in 1914 after the outbreak of World War I, was on a support mission for over 7,000 U.S. troops who invaded Mexico to capture Mexican revolutionary Pancho Villa. While they were not successful in capturing him, The U.S. Air Corps had done a fantastic job of doing surveillance and learning skills that would lead to their success in World War II. Mm. And that is This Day in Sports History.
All right, This Day in Sports History. Thank you, Jeff.
Thought you'd appreciate the Eagles coach.
Yeah, I did. That made me laugh. He's also still the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, who won back-to-back Super Bowls, by the way, under his tutelage. 6:52 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Thoughts, comments, Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to DoubleT973.com for that. And the mobile app is open, courtesy of Happy State Bank this morning. Also, the Visual Edge IT hotline is open, too, at 806-771-0973. I saw this, and more to come on this, I think. Dartmouth announcing that they will refuse to negotiate and talk with the union that has been established by their men's basketball team. They will not enter into collective bargaining with the union. The statement in announcing its refusal to bargain a labor deal with the athletes' school was adamant that it believes athletes in the Ivy League are not employees. Players voted 13-2 to join the Service Employees International Union Local 560. There'll be more to come in the courts over this, but I'm not sure they want to become employees. They may be better off being student athletes.
Good luck.
Yeah, and then
good luck.
Good luck to the rest of. Because I think there'll be a lot of people that will be looking at this and going, okay, let's see how this goes. Dartmouth statement, given Dartmouth's decades-long commitment to athletes as an extension of our academic mission, we believe the regional directors made an extraordinary mistake in finding these students are employees, which called the students whose educational program includes athletics. they're asking for a review of the regional director's decision by the full board. So stand by for that.
Do we have to?
You don't have to. You don't have to.
But you're absolutely right. We're going to hear more about it.
Yeah.
It's not going to go away.
Okay, let's see here. Oatmeal and cranberry are my favorite.
Okay.
Did not know there was an oatmeal cookie without raisins. Definitely prefer my oatmeal cookies without raisins. Okay. Back to back folks there. That's kind of how the old chat line goes.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
If you've got big doings today, well, good for you. It promises to be a great day. As we look forward to hearing from you in the Yates Flooring Center chat line, go to DoubleT973.com for that. Of the mobile app, Visual Edge IT hotline is open too. The mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. We'll have Texas Tech baseball on the air for you today as the Red Raiders take on Abilene Christian. These two teams played last year, and it was what that was. You had a massive delay in Abilene to the point where when you finished that game, you finished it here, right?
Yeah, days.
Yeah, days.
Days of a delay.
Days
like,
of a...
Seems like it was, I don't know, it was like the next month you finished it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you...
And you were down 6-0 when the delay hit.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting no hit, if I remember correctly. And then came back and got down 8-0. Yeah. Before you started getting it turned around and scored big in the 7th, 8th, and 9th, and or maybe just 7th and 8th. Yeah, 7th and 8th, and came back and won the game. Like 11-10, I think.
And then you stole their 7-footer.
And then you finished off by winning the doubleheader right after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, their 6-9er who pitched, yes, was the one no-hitting you. He's now in your uniform, correct?
6-9.
Yeah.
7-foot in his cleats.
No. He's not Gene Simmons. Not wearing those boots.
Does he got any basketball skills? I mean,
I have no idea.
Could we slip him over to Pittsburgh for a couple of days and say, hey, get suited up and we're going to throw it into the paint to you, big fella?
Yeah, they should have taken him and Mason Tharp, right? Are those the two tall? I mean, besides Warren Washington, are those the two tallest guys on campus?
I would think so. I mean, pretty doggone close, right? Pretty doggone close.
I don't know any other athletes.
Yeah.
Now there's probably a kid walking around campus at 6'10".
Yeah, I'm sure, right?
Some dominating tall, over at the rec.
Yeah, big, tall.
Drink of water.
Well, yeah. Right. So what's the, I mean, I listened to, you know, what Coach Tadlock had to say in our Red Raider Daily Update with regards to how much he likes this team and how athletic he feels this team is. And it sounds like everybody needs to, maybe not you, because I think you have this naturally, but it seems like anybody that feels like the sky is falling, everybody needs a big dose of patience with this baseball team.
Yes and no. I mean, yes, I definitely agree with Coach Tadlock in that, but I'm not trying to tell you that fans shouldn't be disappointed or mm-hmm. frustrated with what we've seen so far. I would tell you the head man is frustrated with what the Red Raiders have done so far. I think he would have told you he had higher expectations in being 2-4 at this point in Big 12 play. I think he would tell you they haven't put it all together. But what he thinks, and I'm probably in the same boat, and you may be too, Chuck, is, okay, there's a lot of baseball left. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's not ideal the way you've started at 2-4. Neither is the 1-5 start for TCU or the 1-2 start for Oklahoma State. Okay, so those are your four favorites. You know, or actually Texas is in there. They're 2-1. So they just got done losing a series. So I think there's a lot of teams right now that are, you know, are going to be a lot better as they go forward than they are right now. And so Texas Tech's not the only one that's scuffling a little bit here. And you sit there and look at Oklahoma with a 6-0 start, and you're like, gosh, man, you got some work to do to catch up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, clearly, Oklahoma's got to come back to the pack a little bit, okay? Are they
capable of this happening, right?
Sure. Are they really that good? I mean, they just went into Waco last weekend and they went into Fort Worth last weekend and swept TCU. Are they really that good, or is TCU just not playing good baseball right now? Because TCU appears to have a really good roster. I think there's reason to be, man, we should have played better. Man, we got to do this better. Yeah, all of that is fair.
Mm-hmm.
But just understand that it's a long baseball season, okay? And you absolutely can get yourself back to where you want to be. It may take a little bit of help. Like I said, you need Oklahoma to come back to the pack a little bit. I don't think Oklahoma's as good as what their start has shown. And so we'll see. That'll all come out in the wash. And but if you're the Red Raiders, I mean, part of the reason that I am not like jumping off a cliff over last weekend or off a cliff, because I guess if you jumped over a cliff, you could just land on another cliff and you're fine,
you're
right?
Like the guys on the cartoon that
right,
just go
right.
Boom.
So you'd be jumping off a cliff if you were, you know, ending it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're jumping over a cliff, though, aren't you jumping over a valley more than a cliff?
Yes, but there's a chance that there's another cliff over there, so you're good. Okay, so
you jump off a cliff, it's pretty much over.
Yes, okay. So I'm not doing that.
You can get a parachute.
Okay, and I think I said this to you yesterday. I know I said it to Choice yesterday afternoon. Would you have felt better about things if you had offense had scored a bunch of runs and you had averaged 8, 9, 10 runs a game and you still lost the series to Baylor? I would not. I would feel worse because I would feel like, man, we can't pitch. And we all know how important it is to pitch.
Sure.
I think your pitching is coming around. I think it's getting better. I think the guy who's pitching tonight, Zane Petty, last two performances, pretty good. You know, the last one, really good. Okay. And he's really important. Coach Tadlock said to me last Wednesday before New Mexico State game, he said, and this was a very honest answer from him, which in some ways is calling out one of his guys, but he said, the biggest surprise that we have had as a coaching staff this year has been the struggles of Zane Petty. Okay? So what I took away from that is this team was really expecting good things from him, really big things from him. Okay? And he's not pitched well up until his last two times. Okay? And I think when you have a guy like Petty as your Saturday starter, so he's not pitching well, so your rotation's not doing well. So now you take one of your key bullpen arms out of your bullpen, you weaken your bullpen, okay? You put Mac Hewer in the starting rotation, you weaken your bullpen, Zane goes to the bullpen, and he wasn't pitching well there either. And so it really, it was a trickle-down, right? A domino effect where it was hurting you there. Same thing with Jacob Rogers. Jacob Rogers was a guy that they felt like at the beginning of the year, this is going to be one of our key bullpen guys. Maybe midweek starter kind of stuff. Key guy. And he rolls out there, and his first two outings are just rough. I mean, really rough. And so I think those were two guys that this team was leaning heavily on, and they got off to a terrible start on the mound. Okay? And what we've seen over the last couple of weeks is those guys are definitely trending in the right direction. It looks like confidence is coming back a little bit. They're getting better. Just like as Red Raider football fans, we expect offense. We've seen offense. We know, you know, we can score runs, and you just expect every game you're going to do it. Well, it kind of blindsided us this weekend that it didn't get done, and it was a bad weekend, no doubt about it. Across the board, it's hard to just look at one guy. Coach Tadlock's trying to find the right mix defensively and put different guys in there, and all of a sudden everybody stops hitting.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, defense doesn't matter if you can't score any runs.
Nor does pitching.
Yeah. I mean, if you can lose
that's
1-0.
Like shocking. Every time I was like popping in and popping out of the baseball over the weekend, it's like, wow, we're not getting
any
hits.
Five runs, that's epically bad, right?
Right.
Five runs in a series.
Right.
You're lucky to get one game. You were lucky that, I mean, Kyle Robinson was so good.
Pitched his brains out
on Friday night. So I just feel like the offense is going to come back. Clearly, you got to figure out how to score when you're not playing in a ballpark where you can hit the ball at the ballpark. Or you got to score on a day where you're not hitting the ball deep. The wind's blowing in, or it's a big ballpark or whatever. You got to figure that out. Okay, there's got to be more singles and doubles in the mix. There's got to be, you know, moving runners. You got to be able to do some things like that to find the ways to manufacture runs. That's what this team needs to do more of if they're going to be a complete offense. Plenty of guys can hit the ball at the ballpark, but on the days that you can't, got to find ways to score runs.
7:25 this morning here on the Morning Drive. We'll have Red Raider baseball tonight at 6, play-by-play at 6:30 here on Double T 97.3. Jamie's question of the day is next.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
And my liner doesn't want to play for some reason all of a sudden. My apologies. This is a Jamie's question of the day brought to you by someone not named Jamie today. Gentlemen, today is the first day of the NCAA tournament. Whether you think it should be 68 or 64, this is still the first day of the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm. Sure doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't. I don't disagree with that. But as you sit here today, you start thinking about past NCAA tournaments. Some of your favorite games, some of your favorite moments, some of your favorite teams that have gone through. I'm going to give you the opportunity to go back and watch every single game of one of those teams with a caveat that it can't be Kansas or Tech for Chuck.
Okay.
It can't be Tech or Syracuse for Jamie. What team are you going to go back and watch their entire tournament run with? You want to go watch the Fab Five? You want to go watch Jordan make his run? I mean, there's lots of great options, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But you get to watch one that you're not necessarily a fan of, but you got a lot of respect for it. Maybe you go watch Magic and Larry.
Just one game or one whole tournament
one
run?
One tournament run. One tournament run. You get the whole experience.
Okay, so a couple of candidates for me would be the 83 North Carolina State Wolfpack run.
One word or two?
It's one. Okay. It's one.
Thank you.
The 85 Villanova run over Georgetown. I don't want to watch the Syracuse run in 2003 because it ends poorly for me. The 89 run by Michigan with Steve Fisher after Bill Frieder announced that he was leaving to go to Arizona State, and Bo Schembechler fired him and said, "I want a Michigan man coaching Michigan." I still absolutely love that. And Michigan wins in overtime over Seton Hall there in Seattle. I think I'm going to say that, because that was a remarkable run by a basketball team that was not expected to win a tournament. They won six games. It was when the tournament had expanded to 64. So I'm going to say the Michigan run in 89.
Okay. Sign me up for North Carolina 1982.
Okay.
I mean, first off, you've got the greatness of a young Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Other great players on that team as well. Worthy, Perkins. I mean, that was a great basketball team. So just to see Michael that raw for all those games, that would be really fun. And then ultimately they beat Georgetown. So that also would be really enjoyable for me.
And that is allowed.
Yep.
Seeing your rival get beat is allowed.
That was a Sleepy Floyd game, right? Where didn't Sleepy Floyd pass the ball to the wrong guy?
He did.
Yeah, passed it back to Worthy.
I can't remember if it was Worthy or not, but regardless, somebody had jumped out into the passing lane and he thought it was one of his teammates and
threw it right
turned
through.
Made the pass.
If I had to pick one that I get to go back and watch all the way through, I think I would pick Michigan State versus not Indiana. Who was he playing? Who was Bird playing for?
Who?
Why am I blanking on Larry
Indiana
Bird?
State.
Indiana State. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Watch that run in 79.
Well, just to see that championship game with Magic and Bird would be really, really cool.
And how both of those teams got there, and knowing that, I mean, you kind of knew at that point that those two guys were going to be squaring off at some point, whether it be in college or in the NBA for years to come. But to get get in on the ground floor on that and really watch that develop, much like watching a very young Jordan from North Carolina, that would be the "I was there when" kind of moment. And I'm not like the biggest Magic Johnson or Larry Bird fan overall. Like, I don't hate either one of them, don't get me wrong. But I'm not like, I didn't follow their careers growing up, but knowing what that meant to college basketball and then what it meant to the NBA going forward, that would have been cool to experience all of that. That was my first thought.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wouldn't mind seeing the Marquette run when they won in 77. I think it was 77, the Al McGuire coach team, because they just got into the tournament, and I think that was a 32-team field at that point in time. What I really want to do is I want to find the game before they announced the tournament, because this was before they had the big selection show. This is before ESPN did the big selection show, because ESPN was the first one to do the big selection show, and they had Bob Lee on a ladder, and he was putting, you know, teams on the bracket on the wall, physically putting them on the wall as they were selected. But it was a halftime of a game, and they were going to find out if they had made the NCAA tournament. And Dick Enberg said, "Al McGuire told me if he comes out in a brown suit in the second half that Marquette has made the NCAA basketball tournament." And Al McGuire came out in a brown suit, and that's how we knew that Marquette had been selected to the NCAA tournament. At least that's how I remember it.
The main voices of Chuck Hines.
Don't want to get in the facts get in the way of a good story. But and then McGuire and Dick Enberg and Billy Packer would kind of become a broadcasting trio that really put the NCAA basketball tournament and college basketball kind of on the map, because you didn't get very many games in those days. But those guys all teamed up together on NBC to make that happen. All right. It is 7:39 this morning here on the Morning Drive.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
8:02 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Really, really disappointed with my spelling effort this morning. That was just...
I'm sorry.
Teared. What was it again?
Terradiddle.
Terradiddle. Good morning with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Great to have you with us this morning from the First United Bank studio here in downtown Lubbock. I was really impressed with Clint yesterday and the word that I don't even know if I can pronounce this word. I could not have spelled it. Prestidigitation. I'd never even heard of this word before. Prestidigitation. Yeah.
Yep. Well, I mean, first and foremost, you have to be able to pronounce it right.
Right.
If the other person's going to spell it.
Well, right. Gus did. He did pronounce it right. Prestidigitation. Yeah.
So you could get digitation, right?
Right. I could. But
D-I-G-I-T-A-T-I-O-N, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so press. Is it P-R-E-S?
Yeah, and then there's a...
S?
No S. No, one S. Then prestidigitation. There's a T-I.
Okay, I don't remember you.
Like I said, I'm sure I'm not pronouncing
it. Digitation.
Yeah.
Well, that's just too long of a word. That's not a real word. Why would you put that in a spelling contest?
Magic tricks performed as entertainment. Yeah.
That doesn't seem random like our words do.
Yeah. No, that's not a word I would use every day. This has come up a couple of times on the chat line today. Why was BYU and KU seated higher than Tech when we finished over both in the conference? It's the non-conference schedule. That's really what it is,
mm-hmm.
more than anything else. And so do you – Jay Billis was really, I think, critical of – I think he felt like in some aspects the NCAA was speaking out of both sides of its mouth, and when doesn't it, with regard to, you know, how a team finishes versus – you know, the non-conference schedule versus the whole body of work. Do you think the non-conference schedule should play as big a role as it maybe appears to have with whether it was Tech or Iowa State or others? Or do you think that's fair? And I say that because, I mean, it's been a long time since you played those teams, you know, before the start of the year, obviously. I mean, you played 18 regular season Big 12 games, and then you had two additional Big 12 games, Tech did, at least, in the postseason tournament. So you had 20 games in your, quote, body of work. I think Kansas was seeded too high. I do think they should have been a 5 or a 6. And I think I could have made a case for Tech to be a 6 or a 5. So I don't think you were terribly underseeded. And I think Kansas was overseeded. I think a 4 for them was too high. And hell, they're still 17th in the country. I think that's too high, too. I think certainly the logo, they benefited from the logo. No question.
I think the whole body of work should matter. But I think the most important thing is who you are right then.
Yeah. Last 10 games or something along those lines.
Yeah. So, I mean, I do think it should matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's part of your net ranking and mm-hmm. or your RPI in baseball, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think you factor it in.
Yeah. I just wonder how much of a factor they look at those games from November and early December. Mm-hmm. How much is that weighed into what you did last 5 games, last 10 games?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I realize it's hard. I mean, the whole thing is hard. I'm sure it's extremely difficult for those people in that room to, you're never going to have a perfect bracket. You're never going to get everything right. But it seems like they get closer. I feel like they get closer and closer each year. I think the people that are in that room clearly take it seriously, clearly do their homework. I think it's far, far more difficult to do that than the college football playoff. And the college football playoff is going to get more difficult as you go to 12 and pretty quick to 14 teams.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that'll be fun to see how that goes. Albert asked this, and I think this is the question of the week, Albert. How are Warren Washington and Darion Williams looking for the first game? That's a great question.
Quite honestly, I think I've given up on Darion Williams playing.
Darion Williams playing?
I'm sorry, Warren Washington
okay.
playing.
Yeah, I agree with you on that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I've given up on that.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Now, if they surprise us and he rolls out there, I'll be as excited. Okay? Mm-hmm. But my expectation is that he's not going to play.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
My expectation is that Darion Williams will play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the whole him being in the boot at the selection show, him being on the trike for the Big 12 tournament game that you lost to Houston there on the bench, I think is all about trying to keep pressure off that ankle. I mean, he tried to give it a go, and I think as late as probably within 20 minutes of the tip, they thought he was going to be able to go, but when he went out there for the warm-ups, he wasn't able to do what he wanted to do. And, I mean, when you look at it from the standpoint of what do you need? Well, you need him Thursday more so than you needed him last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would have been cool to play for a Big 12 championship, but you know what? If you got a guy that's got a bad ankle, get him some rest. Marquise, who's all of a sudden reappeared, I don't know if he moved back to town or if he's been a closet listener and hasn't, been participating, but all of a sudden...
I think he's Red Raider Two Guns, but his name couldn't get changed back.
Oh.
I think that's what his nickname isn't working correctly, so he's still been around.
Okay. So now we know who Batman is.
I think we've known who Batman is for a while.
Bruce Wayne?
I'm Batman.
Okay, so Marquise is also Red Raider Two Guns.
I think that's
okay.
Right.
Okay. That makes some sense. Okay, so I apologize to you, Marquise. He says neither will play. Man, I hope you're wrong on that, Marquise. I really, really hope you're wrong on that. But we'll see. We'll see. They have until Thursday to get him ready. I mean, stay off that ankle as much as you can. They'll get him rehabbed and do everything that you can. But, what do we know about wonky ankles? Sometimes they take some time to play.
But not always.
But not always, yeah. I'm hopeful. I mean, you got to have him. You just got to have him.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.